But he didn't use his hands or a special machine. He spoke. That's all. He said, "I'd like some light." And there was light, brighter than a summer morning or 1,000 Christmas candles. God spoke again. He said, "Sky, I'd like some sky and some water underneath." And sure enough, there it was, the bright blue sky with the dark blue heavens above it and the blue-green sea below. "Earth," that's what God said next, hard and firm as if he really meant it. And the blue-green waters parted and there was dry land underneath, great patches of it, dirt black and brown, here and there, all over the world. "We need some colour," God whispered, as if he were thinking out loud. And quivering with excitement, green growing things crept right out of the dark earth, then burst into blossom, red, orange and blue, pine trees and palm trees, rose bushes and blackberry bushes, tulips and chrysanthemums. God shouted next, "Day, shining sun, night, shining moon, bright shining stars." And there they were, for morning and evening, summer and winter, time and heat and light. After that, God called to the sky as if he were expecting some kind of an answer. "Come forth, flying things," he cried. And through the clouds they came, flying high and flying low, flying large and flying small, eagles and insects, hummingbirds and hawks. Then God called to the sea, "Come forth, splashing things." And they came to him too, leaping right up through the waves, sailfish and swordfish, dolphins and trout, great grinning humpback whales. Finally, God called to the earth, "Come forth, walking things, crawling things, running, hopping, climbing things." And sure enough, they came, up from burrows, down from trees, out of the high grass and across the open plains. Now everything was ready. Good and ready. So God spoke again. "Man and woman," is what he said, as if he were calling the names of his very best friends. And out of the dust came Adam and Eve to enjoy all that God had made, to take care of it for him, and to talk with him. "This is the way things ought to be," God said at last. "This is what I call very good."
So, in the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing at all. The world was void, without form. And God created. It strikes me that, so God created the world. And that wasn't an easy job to do. But what he created was good. 6 times in the verse it says, God looked on what he had made. And it was good. And then God creates mankind. And looks on all he has made and says, it is very good. Every plant, every animal, every bird, fruit, God created. He gave them to us to look after. The things God had made, the things he had thought were good, he handed over to us to look after. God said, I give you. Do you see that relationship we had with God, where we were talking with God? God was with us at that time, talking to them. He looked upon them and not only saw that mankind was good, he trusted us with his creation. All living things I give to you. What a gift that was. What an amazing responsibility. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've made something really impressive, when I've spent my time making something, I don't want to give it away. It's mine. I want to play with it myself. When I've made a cake, who's made a cake? Everyone's made. Who wants to lick the bowl afterwards? Yeah, everybody does. Because when we create something, you want it, don't you? You want the best. When I open a Christmas present on Christmas morning, it's mine. I don't want to share it with anyone else. Unless it's a strawberry cream. I don't really like strawberry creams. How many of you are going to open your favourite gift on Christmas Day and then give it to someone else? How many of you are going to say, I've created this. Here, you have it. And yet that's exactly what God does. He takes his work, all the things he spends his time, not the worst thing, not the one thing which was going to end up in the bin, not the presents he doesn't really want. The best thing, the thing he looked on and said was very good, he gave to us. If you know your Bible, you know how that ends. It ends with a bit of fruit. God gave us some simple rules to live by, but we didn't follow them, and a distance opened up between humankind and God. We convince ourselves, don't we, that the small things don't matter. No one is watching, no one will know. But God just doesn't see our actions. He knows what we think and feel. He knows the words we had to stop ourselves saying. He knows the actions we thought of doing. Even the small things mattered to God. Eating a small bit of fruit mattered. And from the Bible, from the very start, shows us that even something simple, if God has forbidden, it matters. Because God is with us. But we can ask his forgiveness. So we say together the words of the confession. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish, without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us. Lord of mercy, despite our sinfulness, you never stopped loving us. Fill our hearts with your mercy, that we may forgive others. Amen. But even though we didn't do what God wanted, God is still watching us, and God is still with us. So we're going to have another look in the box now, and find out what present number two is. Ooh. It must be this one, because it's got a number two on it. It's almost like I knew it was there. I wonder what you'd find in cards at Christmas. Anybody? What do you normally find in cards at Christmas? Money. See how these are motivated? I thought it was a gift card. Okay. Shall we have a look? Oh. Well, at least it's a Christmas card with a proper, with a nativity scene on it. We like that. And inside. Oh, wow. Wow, look what I've got. I've got money. Woo! I've got some British money. And I've got some American money. Which is a bit odd, because I don't live in America. But there's something on this. Have you ever looked at a money really closely? My brother's circled something on here. Hang on. Let me see if I can get this. If I take a photo of this, Andy, can you get this on the screen in a minute if I send it to you? Got to love technology, haven't you? Okay, it should be on its way, Andy. Can you see that? Right there on the letter, on the money. There's two things been circled. It says, "In God we trust." And I promise to pay the bearer. That's strange. I wonder what that's got to do with our Advent journey. Joe, is there anything you've got on the Bible?
The Lord has said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, and the Lord had told him.
Interesting. So there's a theme of promises going on here. How many people have made a promise in their life? Oh, come on, there must be more than that. Work with me here, people. Come on. People have made promises. I will do. A promise is the one thing we can offer that's supposed to be unbreakable, isn't it? It's a thing that we say when I promise, you say, this will happen. It says something about how much we care about the offer we're making. But a promise has to be received with hope. If I promise you something, you have to hope that I'm going to give it to you, don't you? If I promise you something, you have to hope I'm going to give it to you. But a promise is received in the hope that the offer will be fulfilled. And that's true of our money. If I gave you a piece of paper with the word £10 written on it, or I gave you a banknote with the number £10 written on it, who would rather have the money? That's quite worrying. Who would rather have the piece of paper? Okay, four people voted and the rest didn't. We have a non-materialistic church, I love it. Our money has value because of the promise that's made through it. Because the Bank of England says, I promise that this money is worth what it says. Otherwise, it's just a bit of metal in our pockets. A little bit of plastic. How is a £10 note different to a plastic bag? Because it has the word, £10, I promise to pay the bearer. When we hand that promise on, we hand it on to someone else. We accept that in faith, that it will be accepted and it will really worth what it says. The dollar, though, the American money, doesn't say, I promise to pay the bearer, which is really interesting. It says, look beyond the shops, look beyond the banks. It says, look to God. God made promises to Abraham in our reading today. And that promise was backed by the creator of the universe. And Abraham had to have faith. And in the hope, God was offering him for something to come. It was a hope for the future of his people. An ongoing blessing on Abraham. Now, how many people would say, I want a blessing? It's quite a few people. That's more than would want the £10 note, actually, which is really good. A blessing doesn't sound a lot of fun. But through that blessing, Abraham and all his descendants would have a relationship with God. And that's really important because we all like to be loved, don't we? We like to feel that we're loved. And actually, God was saying to Abraham, I will love you and your people from now on. And like Adam and Eve, who had received so much from God but failed to be faithful, Abraham was obedient to God. And through his faith, doing what he was asked, he trusted in God. And God fulfilled his promise. God was with them and had given them hope. And lucky for many of us, God doesn't ask us to go to unknown places like he did to Abraham. But we are still called to live our lives the same way, by faith, knowing God will fulfill his promises. God, who created the heavens and the earth, wants to be in relationship with each one of us. He has made promises on each one of our lives. That if we have faith and trust his word, then there is hope for a forever. But unfortunately, it's often too easy to forget the promises of God that has made on our lives and not to walk in faith or hope, but by ourselves, to do things our own way. And so we're going to light a candle now. Who would like to light the candle? Oh, Ben, saw you first. Come on. Is he okay with this? Mum and Dad, you okay? There we go. Excellent. Thank you, Ben. Give him a clap. There we go. Wonderful. We light our first candle to remember Abraham and Sarah and all faithful people of long ago. The people who listened to God and trusted God. They went on a journey to obey God. We are also on a journey of faith to know God better. Let us pray for a moment. We pray for ourselves and for everyone. We ask that our hope will be fixed on God and that God will inspire us to hope of good things. We pray for everyone who feels that their hope has gone this Christmas time. May they find a new hope that shines like this candle's flame. Lord Jesus Christ, hope of our hearts and hope for the world, come close to us this Advent. Amen. Right, we're going back into the box again. Woo! I'm more excited than everyone. What's this? Don't shake it. Does anyone know what this is? It certainly looks like a telescope, doesn't it? Where have you seen one of these before? I've seen these not as a telescope. I've seen this used for something else. Has anyone ever been on a boat? Has anyone ever seen a pirate film? You see these all the time in pirate films, don't you? You get the guy, he's on his boat and he's kind of going like... It's a spyglass. Excellent. It is a spyglass. These were used on boats and people would climb up into the crow's nest, this big place above the boat. And the man would sit there and the boat would be going like this. And it would be raining and it would be miserable. And he'd be sitting there with his little spyglass, looking for danger ahead. He'd be looking out to see what was going on. And he'd be terrified because the boat would be going like this. And he might fall over or off the step. But he was right up in the air and he was higher than this church probably. And he was up there and he was with his little, trying to see what was going on in the future. And you can imagine what happened when he came down, can't you? Oh, not him again. More bad news. The rocks are coming. We've got to change course. We're not doing things right. He's seen something bad ahead. The guy with this was never the bringer of good news in the eyes of the people below, because he was going to make them change. Nick.
So we have some words from the prophet Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decision to the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist.
Thanks, Nick. So prophets were ordinary people. The people with the telescopes in God's book, in the Old Testament, were ordinary people. They were male, they were female, they were shepherds, they were priests. They were anything you can imagine. Social order didn't matter. Children, perhaps, could have also been prophets. It's not about what you can do alone. It was about what God could do through them. Didn't matter how rich or poor you were. And many of these people had experiences. Many found themselves in places they didn't want to be, scared. But all had a message from God. God revealed things about the future to the prophets. He could see what was far away. What do you do when you see bad things? You tell someone, don't you? You warn them. And that's what the prophets did. They looked ahead to see what was coming. And then they brought the news to say, good things are coming. The safe harbour is there. They couldn't just see the sea or what was going on around them. They could see the shore. They could see the harbour coming in the distance. Because God was with them. 300 individual prophecies in the Old Testament talk about Jesus. 300 prophecies in the Old Testament tell us about Jesus' coming. Points to that one single instance, that Christmas day. God with us. It wasn't the prophets who were looking out for Israel. It was God. But it was God showing them things about what was going to happen. It was God revealing how the future was going to unfold for them. And God was offering them peace, that things would be well in the future. I want to ask you, if there's been a time in your life God has tried to show you something. Perhaps there's been a time when you needed to tell someone something that they didn't want to hear. Or just to share the true meaning of Christmas in a world that doesn't want to hear it. And you didn't think you could. A prophet wasn't a prophet if they didn't listen, see, and tell. So our second reflection is that we need to tell others about the peace God offers. So I need another volunteer.
There you go.
Excellent. So we light the second candle to remember Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets of long ago. These people listened to God and gave God's message to their neighbours and friends. They helped people understand what God is like, and they shared God's promises for the future. We also watch and listen to God's voice. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, be with us on our journey through Advent, that we may know you better. Amen. We say a short prayer. We pray for peace in our world. Peace for ourselves. Peace for those who do not know what peace looks like. We ask for the peace of mind that comes from seeing things clearly. We pray for everyone who lives in the midst of conflict or war. May they find some sign of peace that shines like this candle's flame. Lord Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts and in all the world. Come close to us this Advent. Amen. Shall we go back in the box? Yes. Oh, we're getting weary of the box now, I can tell. A mobile phone. A mobile phone? How many of you know what this is? Know what it's for? Oh, I really hope so. They're everywhere, aren't they, now? I actually remember a time when I was a wee lad, not that long ago, promise, when we didn't actually have phones in every household. Can anyone else remember those days?
Yes.
See, there's loads of people, isn't there? Where actually, we didn't have phones in our pockets. We didn't even have phones in our houses. A lot of what we did was writing letters, writing bits of paper that went in the post. And that letter might take a week to get where it was going. That's really strange, I think, to this generation. I think that people now, we forget that sometimes, don't we? That we might actually have to wait to speak to somebody until they get home. I mean, that's just amazing. You know, we expect to be able to get someone instantly now. We're kind of offended when they don't answer the phone when we're trying to get them. It's like really inconvenient. And I wonder how many of us have like asked for something from mum and dad. Have you ever asked for something from your mum and dad? I'm singling you out. And you sort of turn around to people and you say, I want this and I want it now. And it's the most important thing in the whole wide world because I want this thing right now. And it becomes really important. And you become really sad because you haven't got it. Because you can't, there's no patience in that way. Because we're used to having things when we want them. And I think there's something about the story of Mary in here. Joe.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
Thank you. So we had hope and we had peace. But after the prophets, after these guys, there was a 400-year gap. There was no communication that was recorded. There was nothing. Nada. If we can't get someone on the phone now, we get frustrated. If we have to wait for a letter to arrive, we get frustrated and angry. Can you imagine how they must have felt waiting 400 years? That's huge. Can you imagine how it must have felt to be them? All those promises, I will be your God and you will be my people. All those prophecies, I will send a Messiah. And again, the Jews were suffering and they needed someone to help them. They weren't allowed to live how they wanted. They were scared. The Romans were beating them up and being bullies. And they still lived in hope. But I do wonder how much hope they actually had left. I do wonder how angry they must have got, wondering why they were suffering again. I wonder if they didn't want to talk to God anymore. And then suddenly, bing, you've got mail. Well, it was an angel, actually. But you get the idea. Suddenly the angel comes to Mary, and her joy was immense. God had chosen Mary. You're the special one. You're the one who's going to get the blessing, this super blessing. The Lord is with you, the angel says. God is with you, even in those times when it seems quiet. When we feel at our most alone, God is still with us. God is still working through us. When Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, I wonder how she felt afterwards. Now, I don't entirely hold to the ideas of this writing, but I do think there's something in what Mary may have been thinking in it. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are the body. Christ at this point was absolutely dependent on Mary. Jesus was in human form, vulnerable, dependent on his mum, as many of us were. And Mary said, I am your servant. No, we absolutely can ignore the call. We can make ourselves busy with other things, become distracted. But in doing so, we miss the hope and the peace and the joy which comes from God moving in our lives. Mary said, may your word be fulfilled. I am your servant. So we reflect on times God has brought joy to our lives, but also the times when we ignored God. The times we didn't answer the call and missed the joy, which would have followed. So our third reflection is the joy which comes from following what God wants to do in our lives. And we need to light another candle.
Excellent. Well done.
Yay! We light the third candle to remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. When Mary was asked to be the mother of Jesus, she said yes. When God asks us to do something, may we be ready to say yes. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, be with us on our journey through Advent, that we may know you better. Amen. And so we pray and reflect. We pray for joy, for ourselves and for everyone. We give thanks for the beauty of joy and the way it comes to us when we don't expect it. We pray for everyone who feels no joy. May they find some hint of joy that shines like this candle flame. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of the hearts that know you, fill us with all your world, fill us and all your world with joy. Come close to us this Advent. Amen. And we affirm our belief in that God who is hope, peace and joy. So we're coming to our last candle, which must mean there's not many presents left, unfortunately. Should we go back into the box? Yes, there we go. So, what's this? Oh, I know what this is. It's one of them. Do not look into the light. A torch. This is a bit of an in-joke with me and my brother, actually. Because once upon a time, when I was a Boy Scout... Should we turn this off so no one gets blinded? That'd probably be good, wouldn't it? So when I was a Boy Scout, I was on a camp. And we went hiking in a forest, and it was really scary. And our leaders had said, don't take any torches with you. So we're in a forest, it's night time, there's a little moon in the sky, and we're walking around on a little forest trail, a group of 13-year-old lads, completely blind, it would be fair to say, not able to see a thing. And as we're walking along, everything was going okay. And I was one of the scout one of the leaders, and I put my foot on something, which was a rock. And as I trod on the rock moved under my foot. And I walked forward and went, oh, that was close. It was less close for the guy behind me who trod where I was treading and went down an embankment. So he slid down an embankment in the pitch black, but luckily we had a torch in our pocket because we hadn't followed the rules. So we shone the light, we got this guy out of this little place. And then the senior leader said to us again, carry on walking. So we carried on walking. It was pitch black. Can you guess what happened next? It wasn't an embankment. Don't worry. Nobody got really hurt. So we then ended up walking through briars. Now, this wasn't a lot of fun either, because we're all kind of it's summertime. We've got shorts on. It's dark. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in the middle of briars with these big spiky things sticking in your legs and ripping at you. And we got the torch out again, and we realised that we'd left the path. So the path was over here, but we'd actually just kept walking straight and gone this way instead. And I think there's something in that about Jesus being the light of the world, which is in John 1.
John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.
Thank you, Nick. So do you see the problem with us walking in darkness? Actually, it gets really dangerous, doesn't it? How many people would say it is sensible to walk in a forest in the dark? Really good. That's less than the people who take the £10 note. Brilliant. We were walking in our own way. We were set in our own direction. And things went wrong. And we got lost. And some of us got scratched and hurt. One of us fell down an embankment. And we were really lucky no one got badly hurt on that journey. How many of us would say, though, that we were silly to do it? Most of us. How true of that, of our journeys with God. Throughout the history of the Bible, we've embraced God, then tried to do things our own way. Got it badly wrong, gone back to God. God has had to intervene, gone our own way, gone back to God. We just keep trying to do things our own way, and then getting our little torch out of our pocket when things get really bad, and saying, God, come back and light my path. But Jesus is the light of the world. And no matter how dark it gets, no matter how far we go wrong, the darkness cannot extinguish the light. Jesus took all the times we didn't do what we were supposed to do. Remember Adam and Eve? He took the promises when we failed to fulfill them. He took the time we ignored the hope of what was coming. He took all the times we didn't answer the call God was making on our lives. He took the times we walked in darkness. And he gathered them all together for us. God made a promise on our lives. And it finished right here. And it was gathered together right there. It was gathered together in the cross. That's the true meaning of where we end up at Christmas. God is with us. I can't think of a time in history when we haven't walked with God being with us. But I know times in my life when I have chosen to walk in darkness. I know times in my life when I have kept the Christ light in my pocket. And I know the consequences of doing so. Sure, I can walk a short way on my own. And I might do okay. But sooner or later the darkness will get scary, the floor may disappear and I need to reach out again. Or I can choose to walk in Christ's light, to live with the hope, peace, joy and love which comes from knowing God is with me and near me. Christ isn't about the presents, the money, the cards, the dinners or even the church services. Christmas is about God coming into this world, suffering alongside us, loving alongside us and looking upon us. So we can look upon God. So let us take a moment to reflect on the times we have only spoken to God when we needed him. When we only asked him into our lives through being desperate. When our prayers were about what I want, not what God wants. Our final reflection is that we are so loved, God sent his only son to be with us. We need to light our last candle. Who's the last volunteer? Come on, I need one. Into it. There we go. There we go. Brilliant. Our last candle is lit. Well done, everyone. Now we light our last candle to remember the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. As the prophets promised so long ago, you have come to us once again and are the light of the world. Amen. A simple way I've found at Christmas to remember what it's all about is summed up in this. Everybody hold this up. There we go. I'm counting who've already eaten it. I see you. Don't think I don't. So, these are our shepherd's crooks. But if we turn them upside down, we get a J. It's a J for me. Thank you, my lovely wife. So we get a J. J is for Jesus. And the red banding represents the pain that he suffered. And the white band represents our sins being washed away, which are all gathered together right here. So as you take these away today, these give you a way to tell your friends about what Jesus has done. Let us pray. Lord, you came as a tiny, fragile baby. Yet we know that you are God and you are with us. May the flame of this candle remind us that you are the light of the world. And that if we follow you, we will never walk in darkness, but we'll have the true light of life. And Father God, we are sorry for the times we have walked in darkness, for the times we have kept the Christ light to ourselves, and the times we have only turned to Christ when we needed him. Help us to keep hope, peace, joy, and love of your Son in our hearts and minds this Christmas, and evermore. Amen.